Good morning and welcome to your wake-up call. My name is Tana Hartman. I'm here for the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, and this is your wake-up call. Our guest this morning is Frances Coyle. Frances and Marguerite Coyle are pillars of the activist community in the Carrboro, Chapel Hill, well, the whole Triangle area. And Frances is here today to talk to us about his work with the DOC and the Orange County Literacy Council at the Hillsboro Minimum Security Facility. Welcome, Frances.
Thank you.
Tell us about the program, how the Literacy Council and the Department of Corrections came together to create this program.
Well, first I was interested in Orange County Literacy because they were asking for volunteers to just help with the conventional literacy program. They have a lot of one-on-one tutoring programs for people in the whole Orange County area here. And they have a very good orientation program, a couple days or a full day and some partial days to get people introduced to the skills they might need as tutors for people with varying stages of literacy. Some of the folks they run into are absolutely illiterate living here in Orange County, which may be hard to believe. But my experience was that they needed somebody to tutor a person in the minimum security facility at Hillsboro. And they didn't have anyone to wanted to make that trip from Chapel Hill at the time, so I volunteered for that. And I worked with a person who was on his way out. He had about 3 or 4 months left of his term, and so he was very interested in reading the Bible and getting familiar with that. So we worked with that, but about the time he was due to finish, the director up there for that northern part of the Orange County Literacy Program asked if I was interested in helping with their computer literacy thing, since I had been more or less professionally involved with computers since about 1964-65, and had retired as a programmer from Duke. So I thought, well, I'll find out what they're doing. And so they had, at that time, a few halfway broken down computers, hand-me-downs from other state offices that had some outdated software on them. And we were the person who was doing the instruction at the time was working with about 3 or 4 people. And never knew when the computer was going to be alive when the class started, but I did begin to work with them. And what they had at the time was a kind of a basic introductory to some computer applications that were mostly oriented towards simple word processing stuff. The other person eventually found that she had to join the employed because of the economic situation. So I was left there, and then I became very ill, and I told the folks that the program really needs some decent hardware and some up-to-date software. And during my illness, it turned out that they got a new program director, as the other person had retired, who was very aggressive in finding better machines. So when I came back, I found that there were 17 more or less working hand-me-down machines, and they did have up-to-date software on them. Both the operating system as well as the applications. And I found, of course, that not all of them were up to scratch, but once we worked out what needed to be repaired and brought up to date, and some of them were missing the complete installation of the application software, but this was rapidly fixed. And so right now I'm working with four persons who have making various amounts of progress in the Microsoft Unlimited Potential program. This is a great Microsoft program that's available to nonprofit organizations.
What is it called again? Microsoft Unlimited
Potential. Yeah, and it's available to nonprofits if they meet the criteria that Microsoft has set up, and certainly Orange County Literacy Council is one of those. The program, of course, is done through their programs with the cooperation of the Department of Corrections. And this allows us to focus on basic computer literacy skills. So we gradually work with people. It's a self-teaching thing, although the coursework, text material, if you like, it's can be used for both kind of self-teaching, as long as you have someone kind of consulting with the students, or in a formal classroom environment. Well, we don't have available a formal classroom for, say, teaching computer skills. So we kind of put it up to the students to progress at their own pace. Of course, they come in with varying amounts of experience and also varying amounts of reading skills, which is one of the big problems that we run into. Some of the students have a real sort of reading comprehension problem, reading the tutorial on their own and then translating that into the skills that they need to practice on the computer, which is can make me pretty busy during that time working with them. But they do progress much more slowly than, say, some of the other students who come in there are good reading skills and maybe had a little experience with computers in the past and need to bring up to date their stuff, and they proceed pretty much on their own.
Now, who are these students? Tell us a little bit about them.
Well, I think it's sort of the Orange County Literacy Policy, and I think the program at the prison doesn't encourage us to look into or converse a lot with this inmate's background. They will volunteer some information, like how long they expect to be in, and, when they were incarcerated first. But we try not to delve into that too much. But technically, legally, they're all felons. And of course, today with the rather idiotic drug laws we have, it doesn't take much to become a felon. And these are, for the most part, all nonviolent offenses that they're in. They come from various parts of the state. Some of them are just finishing up their terms here. Some of them are, I would say, maybe from my point of view, they're not really elderly, but they're middle-aged or more. Maybe they're going to be around the place for a while. So it's a very diffuse sort of population there. Mostly they're young, though, and and it's surprising because as you converse with the people, they obviously have been well educated. Their vocabulary skill and whatnot tells you that they have maybe even completed a college degree, and so they're in for some idiot infraction of maybe caught with a little too much pot on their person or whatever it takes to end up with a felony offense. But it's a very progressive environment there. Executive director of the unit has been very aggressive in getting the local community involved, the Orange County Literacy being one of the examples, but the local churches in that area are very much involved. We have a yearly meeting there of the put on by the program director acknowledges the volunteer work, and it's just amazing how many different organizations, especially the local churches, are involved in this program one way or another. There is, of course, a volunteer prison ministry there. They right now are laying the foundations for building a chapel on the grounds for the inmates. And actually, it's, a number of the inmates are doing some of the labor work on that, although it's under a professional contractor who's overseeing the whole thing. But they just started digging the foundation, and you, from the window of the education trailer where I do my work, you can see out the window and these folks working on it. So this is very encouraging. Another program that STEM is mostly manned by folks from Chapel Hill here is the Yoke Fellows Ministry, where people go out once a week and just converse informally for an evening with the inmates. This is rather widely known program. I think originally, I don't know too much exactly about the origins of it, but I know that some years ago the UNC YMCA was the main organizer for the Yoke Fellows. Right now, some of the local churches here in Chapel Hill, and I think especially the Religious Society of Friends meeting here in Chapel Hill, one of the leading proponents here, in providing personnel and program and facility, transportation and whatnot to get folks out there. And they do this once a week in the evening, and this really gives the inmates a great chance to meet with people and just have an informal conversation. And again, it's been years since I had been involved with that, but it's if you're a good conversationalist, I think this is a really great program to get involved with. But
and how would people find out about it?
Well, one of the best ways is to contact Hank Dawkins and I don't. Right off the top of my head, I don't have an address for him, although he is in the Chapel Hill phone book.
Directory. Elkins, E-L-K-I-N-S.
Yes.
Hey, yes.
And,
okay.
He would certainly be glad to have anybody join them for this program. And right now it's a really enjoyable thing to do because they meet outdoors, as weather permitting, and very pleasant weather now by evening time. And so folks can really make a very enjoyable evening out of this. And you meet these people who are there, you get to know them. I don't know how much background that the inmates will want to talk about, but they certainly want to talk about many cases, current events and whatnot, because television tends to be almost entirely entertainment work. They don't really spend, news programs and other in-depth stuff. PBS is probably not a major attraction for most of the inmates there on their television sets. But this is a great program. So the entire environment at the Hillsboro place, it really does their best to focus on constructive approach to their inmates. There's a program now, it's in the works, that will going to focus on life after release. Now, this is a major problem for inmates. They
reintegration.
In this area, we do have a number of businesses that do work with the prison, trying to place people.
Speaking of businesses, I need to mention one right now. We need to take just a minute and mention our underwriter, which is Internationalist Bookstore, 405 West Franklin Street in Chapel Hill. Their website is internationalistbooks.org. And you can also learn more about the program or stream it live at trianglewilf.org. That's all one word, trianglewilf, trianglewilf.org. And you're listening to WCOM FM, Low Power FM, Chapel Hill and Carrboro. The website for the radio station is WCOMFM.org. And we're back with Francis Coyle talking about the program, the educational programs at the Hillsboro facility, the Department of Corrections. And you were telling us about another program that's...
Yes, this is one that's just getting underway and is going to focus on preparing the inmates for life after release. Now, the basic information has been put together by a person who was in the STIR for some 30 years.
Yeah, I've heard that phrase in a long time.
Yeah. And when he came out, he decided that had to do something about the impact of on a person when they are out. So he
that has
developed
to be difficult.
A little manual, and I've had a chance to look at that. It's really a great piece of work, and I'm hoping that this program will blossom. But it's right now it's in its basic organizational steps, and probably something that we hope we can keep people in touch with as it develops. But right now, I think we're mostly trying to get people involved in it. And
is it a training program? Is it a
It's kind of a well, you might say orientation program, really, I suppose training would be correct, to prepare the people for what steps they might have to take on release. I mean, there's legal problems a lot of them are going to face. There's all kinds of support problems that they have. They'll need to know what responsibilities they have, say, to a parole officer and things like that. It looks at all of the things that that an individual is likely to face on release.
I hope it also includes teaching them that they do have the right, they can vote.
Yes, of course. And of course, well, the basic manual there does mention that, but again, states vary on those laws.
Yes.
There's not a uniform federal law on voting rights as far as
felons
are concerned.
But in North Carolina,
yes,
they should,
felon, once they've met whatever requirements they are, of course, eligible to participate in the political process. And that is something, of course, we would definitely want to encourage.
Francis, before we have to wrap up, you also have been involved with some of the healthcare reform efforts, and you attended something last night over in Raleigh that I'd like you to tell us about.
Well, yes. Again, this is sort of an extension of the Obama campaign for election, and the people that have organized this are trying to focus on the healthcare issue, and the main focus on the meeting last night was on the White House on the bus that had been traveling across the country with the, promoting the Obama health care program, trying to involve local leadership at each stop. They had started in Arizona, through New Mexico, through the country, and North Carolina is the last stop because they wanted to finish before Congress reconvenes so that everybody is all ready to go, putting the heat on their Congress people for the health care reform program. Now, this is, of course, one of many meetings that have been going on. There's been March on Washington a while back. Not too long, just a week ago, Saturday, a week ago Saturday, there was a great meeting at the Capitol in Raleigh. We had a great number of dignitaries there. So it's an ongoing popular expression of support for a health care program. We're hoping that the issues become clearer and clearer to people. That's one of the problems we have, that everybody's in favor of the health care, but it's sometimes
a lot of misinformation.
As they say, always the devil's in the details, and that devil has been kind of hard to nail down a lot of times, but the big focus, of course, has been that we must maintain a public option. This is an overriding issue, and continues to be front and center for all of the different gatherings, and people are going to continue, and we need to hold our representatives' feet to the fire, as well as Obama's, and that's what this is all about. and
was there a good turnout?
Yes, this last Saturday, where we had, of course, the president of the state NAACP there, Reverend Barber, we had well over 1,000 people at the Capitol. And yesterday, it was 400 or 500 people there. So crowds are pretty good. And the enthusiasm is, you no problem there. I mean, people are, I've not had seen that kind of enthusiasm since we marched against the war in Vietnam and some things
of
that
sort.
I mean, people are excited, and our legislators had best be well tuned in. We're fortunate here, of course, in the 4th District that our congressman is really taking a lead on this issue and has been a real good spokesman for the health care program. And I think his impact on his colleagues in the North Carolina delegation is, of course, important. And our Senator Kay Hagan has been very supportive of the health care issue. And of course, a young, or I should say, young,
junior.
I guess is all right, at least from my perspective. But she's a new senator, and it takes courage to speak up in the Senate when right now this issue is, you might say, in many ways in doubt, and there's not the really strong support in the Senate for health care reform that we find in the House of Representatives. So we're very proud and that she has come out in support of
yes,
this
I hope
legislation.
I hope she maintains and pushes both of them. That I think it's very important. No, how would people learn more about either of these issues, either about the programs and with the facility in Hillsboro, if they wanted to get involved, or the healthcare?
Well, Orange County Literacy, of course, has an office here in Chapel Hill. I suppose I should have had the phone number and thing like that down, but they are in the phone book, Orange County Literacy, in the business section of the phone book. And they're always anxious to talk to volunteers and set up the They periodically have their orientation sessions, and people are always welcome to do this. It's a one-on-one ordinarily program where you work with an individual. My particular program is a little different because I have any number of people that are working on their progress and on their own, but normally it's a one-on-one thing.
Well, they can contact then the Orange Literacy Council, and it's in the phone directory. And Francis, thank you very much. We're going to have to wrap up now, but thank you for being with us, and please say hi to Marguerite.
It's been my pleasure.
And thank you for joining us. Join us again next week. This is Tana Hartman for the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, and you're listening to your Wake Up Call at WCOM LP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro.